Okay, good evening. The third aliyah in this week's parsha, Parshas Korach, is where the action is. In the third aliyah of Parshas Korach, the rebellion of Korach has already been mounted, the insurrection has already been mounted towards Moshe and towards Aaron, and they've made their complaints and they've resisted Moshe Rabbeinu's original overtures, and the Korach has assembled all the community that has joined him in this machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu to the Pesach El Moed, to the entrance of the El Moed, Ve'yirokvet Hashem al kol hayda, and the presence of Hashem appeared to the community. So Hashem speaks to Moshe, and he says, "I want you to separate yourself, move away from the community. I will destroy them instantaneously." Apparently proposing a destruction of a whole community. They pray to Hashem that Hashem should distinguish Keila lekeharu chayis l'chol basar ha'isha chod yechetov al kol ha'idotik tzayf. God, who's the God of every spirit, who understands every individual person, their nature, and their feeling, you will destroy a whole community collectively for one person's sin. So there's lots to focus on here, but I'm going to move to this. So Hashem says to Moshe, and says, tell the community they should move away from around Mishkan Korach, Dason, Vaviram. In other words, you're right, I'm not going to have everybody together. I will only focus on those who were the real sinners. So tell everybody to move away from them. And Moshe went to Dason Aviram. Move away. Don't even come in contact with their things. We don't want you to be destroyed in their sins. And they moved away. And Dothan Aviram come out, Nitzavim, come out stridently, confrontationally. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'zois teidun ki Hashem shlochani la'aseis es kol ha'masim ha'ele ki lo'i milibi." Through this you shall know that Hashem sent me to do everything here, and I made up nothing from my own heart. M'kemois kol adam yimusun eilef. These people will die like people die. V'das kol adam yipokeid aleihem. And they will be visited with what all mankind are visited with. Le Hashem shlochani. Hashem has not sent me. V'avim bria yivra Hashem. But if instead the earth opens up its mouth with the new creation of the mouth of the earth, and it swallows up Korach, so that they descend to the depths alive, buried alive, then you will know that these people have blasphemed Hashem, angered Hashem. And that's exactly what happened. As we know, the land opens up and swallows them alive. And everybody ran away, and at the same time, a fire came out from Hashem and consumed the 250 pretenders to the kahuna, the 250 who carried the shovels of incense and wanted to replace Aaron HaKohen. So the fire came out from Hashem and consumed them at the same time. So that's the parsha, that's the dramatic blow that comes to Korach and to his cohorts. We're trying to do it. And we have to understand what is the nature of this particular einish. It's such an unusual thing. In Bria, Yivra Hashem. Hashem creates something. The term Bria is a unique term. It's not used an awful lot since the first verse of the Torah when it said Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Reishis bara elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. Afterwards, it doesn't use that term much. It says, Hashem created, Vayivra Elohim es hataninim hagdailim, like the big fish, the Leviathan, Ben Zugai, which represent, you know, the power of the future of Mashiach, all kinds of things. It says, the Bria, when it came to the person, but a Bria means real creation, something new. Rashi says, "In Bria Yivra Hashem, if there's something there from Sheish Yimei Bereishis, great. But if not, but Hashem makes something new. Ufatzah Adam Aspia was the terms which are used are something new. The way of resolution is something new. The land opens up and swallows them up alive. It's an unusual thing. What's the nature of this punishment? And the nature of this punishment for this specific crime, for this specific avera of Kairach. How are we to see this? How are we to understand this? The fire of the Ketairas is not so hard to understand. That's exactly what they were tapping into. They were trying to bring the Ketairas when they weren't instructed to bring the Ketairas, imagining they could bring it like anybody else. And we know already from the story of Nadav and Avihu that when somebody tries to do that, when they're not licensed to do that, that the fire comes out from Hashem and consumes them. We know that one already. But this one, the Machlaikas, is settled by the earth opening up its mouth to swallow up Kairach. Something which requires understanding. I want to suggest to you an understanding of this matter. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei of Pirkei Avos, puts Kairach v'Hadassah, Kairach and his community, as a model. Not a model to follow, but a model to avoid. The Mishnah says in Pirkei of Pirkei Avos, Kol machlaikas shi l'shem shamayim seifa l'iskayim. A machlaikas which is for the sake of heaven will be upheld. Kol machlaikas she'ena l'shem shamayim, and a machlaikas which is not for the sake of heaven, ein seifa l'iskayim. It will not be upheld. It will not last. What's a machlaikas shi l'shem shamayim is the machlaikas of Hillel and Shammai. And what's a machlaikas she'ena l'shem shamayim, an argument that's not for the sake of heaven, that's the machlaikas of Kairach v'Hadassah, of Kairach and his community. Kairach and his community and their argument, of course, against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Kairach is placed here as the paradigm of machlaikas she'ena l'shem shamayim. You say to me, appropriately, that it's not just the Mishnah. In a sense, the Torah does it in our parsha, because the Torah says that they put up a monument of the by taking the shovels, the copper shovels which they had used to bring the Ketairas, and they pounded them and they made a covering of the Mizbeach, another layer of a covering of the Mizbeach. That was also a remembrance, to remember what happened, this rebellion, and to discourage anybody from being like Kairach v'Hadassah, v'layek Kairach v'Hadassah, which Chazal understood that this is actually a prohibition against machlokes, a prohibition against actions which are divisive, actions which create division and argument in a community. V'layek Kairach v'Hadassah, Kairach is the model of machlokes, something which we would something which we would try to avoid. But the here in the Mishnah, it's of course doing the same thing, and the Mishnah refers specifically to something which we call here machlekes l'shem shamayim and machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim. I want to explain the term. What does it mean machlekes for the sake of heaven? What does it mean machlekes not for the sake of heaven? Now, you could say altruistic, selfish, you know. That's the difference between them. There's a terminology which is used here. And the reason why I think that this terminology here is something which we should especially note, when we speak about Kairach as a machlaika she'ena l'shem shamayim, is because if you think about what happened to Kairach was eino l'shem shamayim. What happened to Kairach was not destined for the heavens. What do I mean? The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam writes in Perek Dalet Halacha Tes of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Ein Tzuras HaNefesh HaZois Mechuberes Min HaYesodeis Kedei SheTipored Lohem. Ve'ina mikrach ha'neshama shetei tzricha l'neshama k'meish ha'neshama tzricha l'guf. The Rambam is writing about the relationship between the soul and the body, between the soul and the general life force which exists in a person, the general vitality, which he calls neshama, right? There's terminologies that are used different ways, but nefesh versus neshama. The Rambam, nefesh is higher. And then the body. And he says that the nefesh which we speak about, the nefesh which is above the nefesh of every other living thing, of a horse or a donkey, the nefesh which is specific to a human being, which is referred to as Bitzalmeinu, Kidmuseinu, the image of God that the Torah speaks about when it speaks about the uniqueness of the creation of man, says it's not something which is made up of the yesodos, of the basic elements of the world, that it should follow the rules that with things which are composed of those yesodos, that eventually they fall apart and they decompose. Ve'ena mikayach ha'neshama, and it's not like the soul which is part of the body. The soul that we speak about comes from Hashem, from the heavens. B'tzelem elokim, in the divine image. Lefikach, therefore, k'shi yiparid ha-goylem shu mechubar min ha-yesodos. Therefore, when the body, which is made from the basic elements of the earth, when it comes apart, dies and decomposes. V'teyaver ha-neshama, b'nei she'enim etzuyelim ha-guf. And when the soul goes along with it and dies, because the soul, the basic soul, I'm not talking here again about this lofty soul, the basic soul which is bound up with life, organic, with the physical body of the person, when that also goes by the wayside, because it only exists with the body, utzricha l'guf b'chol ma'aseh, and it requires the body for all that it does, leitikoris ha'tzura hazais. But this tzura of the neshama doesn't go with that. Doesn't go by the way with that. Because this nefesh is not dependent on the neshama. It's not dependent on the guf. It knows and it apprehends those things which are separated from any physical thing. And it knows the Creator. And it lasts forever. Hu sha'amar shloima b'chachmasai. That's what Shloima HaMelech said with his wisdom, in his wisdom, which is a term which is used when we speak about what Shloima HaMelech said in part of Chachmas Shloima, the works of Shloima HaMelech, the wisdom of Shloima, where he says, V'yoshuv ha'ofar el ha'aretz kishahaya. The body, the dust will return to the land as it was, v'aruach toshuv el ha'aretz kishahaya. And the spirit, the soul, goes back to God who granted it. This is Shlomo HaMelech's description of death. The description of death is a separation, where the body and the physical elements return to the earth, the physical source, and the neshama, which is the spiritual element, returns to Hashem, to the spiritual source. The soul does not come from the earth, it doesn't return to the earth. The soul comes min hashamayim, as the Rambam wrote, me'eis Hashem min hashamayim. It's from Hashem, it's from the shamayim. And so when life, quote unquote, on this earth ends, the soul goes back to its point of origin, which is the shamayim. Poshut, it is simple and straightforward to see that the unique punishment which was given to Korach, that he was swallowed up alive, was such that in the case of Korach, the separation did not occur. Whereas death usually has the soul leave the body, and then the body as it is interred in the earth, but the soul is gone back to the Shamayim. In the case of Korach, the soul never left his body. He was swallowed up alive. His soul was interred in the earth. His soul was not given the opportunity to return. And that, we must now understand, is Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim. Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim. Not for the sake of heaven. In Korach's world, somehow or another, right, his machlokes, his argument is described as not considering heaven. and his punishment was such that heaven was not part of his destiny, was not part of his picture, was not part of his future, like it would be for everybody else. This is Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim. Overly early. Adover Tarech Talmud. We have to still understand. So we've taken, I think, a step, I think an important step. We started off, what's with this unusual phenomenon here of how Korach is punished so dramatically, so unique? The 250 men, we understand, but Korach, what's this thing of being swallowed up alive? And we looked at the fact that both the Pasuk and Chazal see Korach as the paradigm of Machlokes, but the Mishnah specifically refers to him as Machlokes Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim, argument not for the sake of Shamayim. And when we think about it, not for the sake of heaven, not considering heaven, and you recognize that the punishment of Korach is that whereas naturally death considers the earthy component of a person and the heavenly component of the person, the earthy origins and the heavenly origins, but the death of Korach ignored the heavenly origins and only the Eretz was swallowed up alive, this is the Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim of Korach. That's what we posit at this point. But Adayin Hadavar Tzorach Talmud, it still requires understanding. What does it mean? A Machlokes Shaloi L'Shem Shamayim. What does that mean in this context of Korach to again be suffering this punishment of being swallowed up by the earth? So let's learn a little bit more about Shamayim. What's Shamayim? What's Shamayim? What does the term mean? Shamayim, heaven. In the beginning of the Chumash, in the first pasuk in Chumash, where it refers to Bria, in the beginning, Hashem bara elokim es hashamayim v'sarets, Hashem created the heaven and the earth. That's it. We take it as such. Rashi doesn't explain what Shamayim means. What were those Shamayim? It's a little bit hard to know. Why? Because when you get to the second day of creation, Hashem creates something that's called the Shamayim, even though ostensibly it already existed. On the second day of creation, there should be a firmament, a barrier which is created within the water that will separate between the waters above and the waters below. And Hashem called that Rakia, he called that firmament, which nobody knows what a firmament is anyway, right? But he called that thing Shamayim. He called it Shamayim. What does it mean he called it Shamayim? Says Rashi, Sa Mayim, carry water. That's interpretation number one. Why? Because according to the way the Pasuk describes it, it was one big mass of water over the earth, and Hashem lifted up part of it. So the sky is holding up this big mass of water. Okay? Shom Mayim. Another way to play with the word is not Sa Mayim, but Shom Mayim. There is water. And then a third pshat. And the third pshat is Esh Umayim, fire and water. Shamayim is Esh Umayim, fire and water. She'irvan zeh bozeh v'asamihem Shamayim. He mixed water and fire and he made from it Shamayim. Echse. What does that mean? He mixed fire and water and made from it Shamayim. You can't mix fire and water, right? When you have a pot, you can put together fire and water, right? And then the fire acts on the water and it cooks it, makes it very nice. But put together fire and water, and either the fire goes out, or the water evaporates. You can't have fire and water coexist. You can't have fire and water coexist. But Shamayim is the coexistence of Eshumayim, of fire and water. How is that? How is it that in Shamayim fire and water coexist? And here lies a very important yesod, a very important principle, core principle. Maral writes about it in many places, one of the big yesodists of the Maral. But one place where he writes about it is in this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we started with, that we discussed before, of a machlokes l'shem Shamayim, an argument for the sake of heaven, that Seifel Iskayim. Machlekes Shem Shamayim is, for example, the Machlekes of Hillel and Shammai. Now, the Machlekes of Hillel and Shammai was a Machlekes for the sake of heaven, but, you know, we could really ask a question about that too. How is it upheld? How does it last? Hillel says Chayev, and Shammai says Potter. Hillel says you're obligated, Shammai says you're not. Hillel says it's pure, Shammai says it's impure. Hillel says it's permitted, Shammai says it's forbidden. How do we say that that Machlekes lasts? Well, the heavenly voice, if you remember, the Gemara tells a famous story in Maseches Erevin that after Hillel and Shammai argued for all those years, a heavenly voice, a baskel, came min ha-shamayim, from the heavens, and said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. These and those are both the words of the living God, of Hillel and of Shammai. How could it be? How could Hashem say chayim and potter, osir and mutter? How does the contradiction exist? And the answer is that in Shamayim, the contradiction exists. It's Miskayim. In Shamayim, in heavens, where fire and water coexists, so then forbidden and permitted coexist on the same thing. Tumah v'Tara. In heaven, there's no such thing as a contradiction. In the heavenly realm, there is Echad. There is one. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is our God, Hashem is one. In the heavenly realm, there's ultimate Achdus, ultimate unity. Hashem is one. The world of the Spirit is absolute unity. It is in the world of the physical world down here that we experience division. I've told you countless times by now how Chazal point this out, b'metek l'shoinam, in their sweet, simple expression, in that the Chumash, when it starts telling the story of the creation of the physical world, the letter that it starts with is the letter Beis, which is the letter for two, for plurality, for more than one. And when Hashem brings heaven to earth at Matan Torah, and Hashem reveals himself to the earth, what does he start with? He starts with A'anoichi, with the Aleph, with the unity. Because everything about creation is about division, separation. In the material world, physical things are separate from each other. This end is separate from that end. This end of the table, separate from that end of the table. This physical body is separate from that physical body. It's only in the realm of Ruach, which we can even picture in our physical world, right? The wind, the air, that you say, okay, where there's this drop of air and that drop of air. Now you don't see it that way. And you want to take out your microscope and look for molecules, you know, and hydrogen atoms and so on and so forth. You can divide them up. But it's not the way it's experienced. By the way a person lives life, it's just one thing. But when you get to real physical things, there's division. And the truth of the matter is that ultimately, even the physical world should not suffer division. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'oretz v'yemahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmei echad. When we anticipate the end of days, we say Hashem will be king upon all the earth, and on that day He will be one, and His name will be one. We speak about the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu permeating the world as we know it, the earth down here, where we won't see division. We won't see division between bad and good. We won't see division of any kind. Everything is unified together. One of the great goals, over all goals of the whole world, is, especially as Ramchal wrote about over and over again, is Gilui Yichudai, the revelation of the unity of Hashem. We live in a world where people function at cross purposes, where bad struggles with good, where all kinds of things happen, bad things to good people and good things to bad people. And it's to us Mifuzar, scattered, what's going on? Everything is all over the place. And the goal is Gilu Yichudai, is to see that it's all part of one thing. It's all part of one jigsaw puzzle. It's all from the Rabbeinu Shlalem and returning to the Rabbeinu Shlalem. In the world of Shemayim, fire and water are not contradictions. In the world of Shemayim, there are two opposite things that on a certain level, when they're down here on this earth, they conflict with each other and struggle with each other. But in truth, they're two parts of the Achdus, of the unity, of the single goal and the single purpose and the single origin, which is the Rabbeinu Shlalem. That's Shemayim. Shemayim is Echad. And Machloikas L'Shem Shemayim, Machlokes for the sake of heaven, Machlokes of Hillel v'Shammai, is such that there too, yes, it manifests itself in this earth in two things that are opposite, that are divided, that can't coexist. How can the forbidden of Shammai of this same item coexist with the permitted of Hillel of the same item? It's not possible using normal categories, but it's not normal, because it's Hillel v'Shammai L'Shem Shamayim. And in the world of L'Shem Shamayim, the contradictory mix, they come together. There is no contradiction in that realm. Baruch Atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shekum. There's a beautiful medrash, and again, some of you have certainly studied this medrash before, more than once. It's a medrash in Parshas Bereishis, a medrash in the second day of creation, the day of the creation of the Shamayim. And the bad news is that on the day of the creation of the Shamayim, Monday of creation, is the one day that it didn't say, and Hashem looked and he saw Kitoiv, that it was good. It was the one day that Leinemer by Kitoiv. In all of creation, Hashem saw something, he saw that it was good. He saw something, he saw that it was good. Right? Well, he created something and he saw that it was good, excuse me. But on the second day, it doesn't say that. Rashi is already addressing it and saying, well, Hashem didn't finish the work of the water, it still had to be separated the dry land from the seas, so that didn't occur until the second day of creation, until the third day of creation. So then it says Kitay from that. However, right, that's also found in the Medrash, but the Medrash says a couple of other things, and very important things. Why on the Monday of creation does it not say Kitoiv? Rabbi Yochanan Tani, La B'Shem Rabbi Yosef B'Chalavta Shabay Nivra Gehenem. That was the day that Gehenem, that hell, was created. Shenemar, and he brings a pasuk. Rabbi Chanin Aymer Shabay Nivra Machloikas. That's the day that Machloikas was created. Shenemar V'hi Mavdil Bein Mayim L'Mayim. Created the Rakia, which was to divide between the waters above and the waters below. Omar Avtivyoimi Machlaika Shilitikuna Shalom Lishuvaim Bakita, Machlaika Shilirbuva Alachas Kama Vakama. If Machlaikas, which is to make the world able to be settled, it can't say Kitav about that. So then a Machlaikas, which is just to mix up the world, to confuse the world, how much more so? But the Medrash says this, that on the second day Machlaikas was created. Now think about it. The first day wasn't the first day. It was Yom Echad. It was one day. First implies first of many. One implies just one. Rashi notes, following the style, it should have said Yom Rishon, the first day, like it says Yom Sheni, the second day. It doesn't. It says Yom Echad. Because on the first day, Hashem was Yochid Be'olamai. He was all alone. All alone. Even the angels weren't created until the second day, says Rashi. Sheni is already the base. It's already the multiplicity. And the ultimate multiplicity, or that which created room for multiplicity, is the separation of the Eretz from the Shamayim. The Mavdil, that which separated the earth from the heavens. When the earth was separated from the heavens, so then you have Machlokes. Then you have division. When the earth is separated from the heavens, you have Gehenim. And what's Gehenim? What's Gehenim? Who is the president, the mayor of Gehenim? Kairach. Kairach. The Gemara says, show me, right? It's famous Agarita. The Gemara says, show me where Gehenim is. He took him to a place, the desert, whatever it was. And he listened and he heard Kairach chanting. Moshe emes v'tzayrosay emes v'nachlo badoy. Moshe is true and his Torah is true and we are badoy. We are liars. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam in Laz Tshuva, he explains that Gehenim is when the general rule of Shlaima HaMelech that I read to you before from Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah, when that rule is defied. The general rule of Shlaima HaMelech was that death is where the body returns to the earth and the soul returns to Hashem. What do you call the soul returning to Hashem? Olam Haba. Right? That's the world to come. That's the world of the souls. The soul goes back to be with Hashem in the wonderful place. But when a soul doesn't go back to Hashem, what's that called? That's called Gehenna. Kairach is the president of Gehenna. Kairach's voice, Kairach's chant, is the background music of Gehenna. That was created on the second day. When the earth was separated from the Shamayim. When there became such a thing as Machlokes. Machlokes is when instead of two different things seeing themselves as two parts of an Echad, two parts of one thing, instead what do they see themselves as? They see themselves as two conflicting things. That's Eish U'mayim. Right? When we speak about two things that can't get along, what do we say? What's the expression even in English? It's like fire and water. Right? They're like fire and water. You know, when we get to heaven, that's going to be a good joke. Right? They're like fire and water. That's right. Perfect. What a great shidduch. Fire and water. But on earth, fire and water. Opposed. Kairach v'adosai. Right? Moshe needs this. What about us? What happens to us? Moshe's existence somehow undermines, denies us of our place, of our existence. What are you talking about? But that's the way we experience things in this world a lot. Unless l'shem shamayim. Unless it's for the sake of heaven. When Chazal enjoin us that kol ha'iskim im hatzibur yu asukin imayim l'shem shamayim, anyone who involves themselves with the community should be involved with the community for the sake of heaven. And the Mishnah teaches it to us right next to its warnings in Pirkei Avos, right next to its warnings about being careful about usual government, because they're just self-centered. Right? What is it? It's that same contrast. For the sake of heaven means it's not about me versus you. It's something called seaboard. It's something called community. It's something called a joining together of various parts which could be dissonant, which could be apart from each other. That's the idea of a machlokes. L'shem Shamayim, Seifel Iskayim, Hillel and Shammai, L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven. They were opposed, they were opposite to each other, but they were together with each other. They understood the side of Shamayim. They understood the achdus, the unity of Shamayim. I could be chayiv, you could be potter, I could be osur, you could be mutter. And we live happily together ever after. But when, instead, ein l'shem Shamayim, so then on earth it's all conflict. And Kairach, who was all conflict and didn't have that semblance of unity, he was too removed from the Shamayim to have any part of him go there. He was nivla, he was swallowed up alive. The neshama would not separate from the body, ironically, to go to the Shamayim, to Makar Mechtzavtei, to its place of origin. Eshumayim. Eshumayim. That's the issue of Karach Vadosai. I wonder, I don't know, again, this is a little bit beyond me being able to suggest, but I think that there's merit to it. I think it's written in other places. Let's take one step at a time. The people who offered the Ketores, what happened was the fire came and consumed them. That's Eish. The fire came and consumed them, Makrivei Ketores. Ketores, we've discussed at different times that the Ketores is the offering of the Neshama. Ketores is in fact therefore the opposite. Ketores brings life. Right? In our very parsha, right, coming up, right, towards the end of the third Aliyah, right, when Klal Yisrael gets nervous, Atem Hamitem Esam Hashem, so Moshe Rabbeinu had to go and tell Aaron, and starts the fourth Aliyah, to go and run and spread the Ketores. And so the Gemara says this was a secret which Moshe Rabbeinu learned when he was in Shamayim, that Ketores stops mortality, that Ketores stops the Malach HaMavis in his tracks. This was a gift which Moshe Rabbeinu received when he went up to the heavens to get the Torah. So besides for that, they gave him also this secret, that the Ketores stops the Magefa. And the idea is because the Ketores is all Ruach, it's all Reach, it's all smell. It's all incense, it's all the spirit, it's all ruchnius. Right, Yom Kippur, when you have to deny your physicality of everything, you're allowed to smell incense. Right, Ketores is all ruach. It's like the opposite of what we're talking about. Right? But when you have Balei Machloikas who offer the Ketores, then what does that look like? When you have people of division who offer the Ketores, and the Ketores is the spirit, and the spirit is unified. So what happens? So that fire that they're trying to attach to, the fire which is the high point, the fire that comes from Hashem, that takes the Ketores, comes and burns them and destroys them. You know, this is, you know, it's almost the opposite of being swallowed up alive. But when they're trying to actually surge towards the Shamayim, but in their failed way, so the fire comes and destroys them. The Gemara says, Gemara Maseches Saita, Ish v'Isha, man and woman, right? So that's the ultimate challenge of Achdus on this earth. Kodesh Baruch Hu created them as one. And then he separated the woman from the man, right? He broke off a piece, created the woman. And then what's the job? The job is they're supposed to come back together as one. That's why marriage is such a spiritual undertaking according to the view of Chazal. That's why it's associated with Kiddushin, with Kedusha. That's why the expression is that the man and woman who are able to make for such a thing, Zachu Shechina Shriya Beinim, if they merit the presence of Hashem, rest between, because here you are, you're taking two, and you're trying to make one. And there's a need there for something called L'shem Shamayim, something called for the sake of heaven, to be able to create that. There's a need for that, to rise a little bit above, to create the L'shem Shamayim, for it to come. Chazal say, Ish v'isha, if they merit the Shechinas Beinayim, why? Because the word Ish and the word Isha both have a root of Esh, of fire. So if Loi Zachu, if they don't merit Esh Echlas, the fire consumes them, like it does over here by the Makriv Ektarz. But Zachu, but if they merit, then the Yud that's there by the Ish unifies with the He, which is there by the woman. And together, what does it comprise? The name of Hashem, Koh. Shechina Shruya Beinim. If they're able to bring it together, they have the fire of Hashem instead of the fire of destruction, the fire of division, the fire of the Makriv Ektarz. You know, in Svarim, in Holy Svarim, it says, I just happen to know that it says this, not try to explain, but there's a lot of talk about the name of Hashem. Yud and Hey is only half of the name of Hashem, right? The full name of Hashem is Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey. But what does Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey stand for? So one of the things that it stands for is Yismechu Hashamayim V'Sogel Horetz. Let the heavens be happy and let the earth rejoice. And it's a lot spoken about, the first part of the name, the second part of the name, the connection. But the Yud and the Hey of Ish V'Isha is Yismechu Hashemayim. The Ish V'Isha, the ability to unify, is a heavenly joy. Because in Shamayim, everything combines. In Shamayim, you see the unity of all. The earth is created in 6 days, the six poles, the multiplicity, the duality. All of that. All of that division is part of the physical material world. Yismechu Hashamayim is the altruism of unity, the altruism of coming together for the sake of heaven, understanding that makor, of understanding that source of unity, that destination, that goal of unity, that destiny of unity. This is where Karach was lost. Perhaps this is the notion of Chayim Sha'ila, of the fact that Shkairach, the punishment for Kairach, in Bria Yivra Hashem Ufotetzo Adam Aspia. Hashem will create a Bria, a new creation that will swallow up Kairach. If Bria to begin with was the creation of an earth and a heaven, right, this base of Bria, this division. And then the next big Bria, we'll leave aside the Taninim, it's not for discussion right now, it's very Vayivra Elohim Es Adam Betzalmai. Hashem created man who has this duality of Eretz V'Shamayim, of earth and heaven within him, as we learned in the Rambam before, as we well know. But the next Bria is the Bria of the earth that takes something like Kairach that's so removed from the Shamayim and swallows it up completely with the soul. That's a new Bria. That's a new creation. It's a new creation. It's not the original creation. The original creation is the Shamayim over the Oretz. HaShamayim al Oretz. The original creation is Hashem puts a Tzelem Elokim, a divine soul, into a person. That's all the optimism. That's all the possibility. That's all towards the ultimate unity. But Kairach forces a new definition of Bria. Kairach, in his negativity, forces a new dimension, which we would say is a positive dimension in the earth, that the earth will take something that's so removed from the Shamayim and swallow it up and not let any part of it be above the earth. Ki'ilu, as if it is, to pretend that it is. This is the yichud of machlekes l'shem Shamayim. This is the piru, the division of machlekes sheloi l'shem Shamayim. Oretz, the earth and its division versus the Shamayim and its unity. The challenge of yichud, the challenge of bringing it all together, of unifying it, is a fundamental challenge of ours, of our time, of our lives. The unity of the Jewish people. Ata echad v'shimcha echad v'mika'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'oretz. When we daven at Mincha of Shabbos, the Tefillah of Mashiach, the Tefillah of Shabbos of Mashiach, we say, you are one Hashem, and your name is one. It's all very nice and philosophical. And we say, and who is like your people Israel? A single, one, unified nation on the earth. A nation which may have as one of its salient features Machlaikas, but L'shem Shamayim, where it's understood as complementary sides of an achdus, of a single, of a singularity. You know that in many Sforim it's written that the Echad is Aleph, Ches, Dalet, 1, 8, 4. Yaakov Avinu, the one, and the eight sons that he had from Rachel and Leah, and the four sons that he had from Bilhah and Zilpah, the Bnei Gvira, the Bnei Hashvachas, all together forms one. It's 12 facets of the single diamond of Yaakov Avinu. That's Am Chisvil Goy Echad Ba'oretz. But instead, we have another model. And the other model is the model of Kairach. The Machlekes She'eino L'shem Shamayim, of argument which is not built on altruism, argument which doesn't recognize and cherish the complementary aspects of the different sides of the whole. Machlekes, which is sometimes the external, so to speak, political Machlekes. And Machlekes, which is sometimes the external religious Machlekes. And Machlekes, which is sometimes just the basic Ish V'Isha, man and his friend, and so on and so forth. L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Shamayim. When we can do for the sake of heaven, we will be able to tap into the core that unifies, that makes everything one, part of one, and back into one. May that be our state. So that instead of the Vativla Ha'oretz, Vativla, right, that the land should open up its mouth and swallow up spirituality and physicality into the earthiness. Instead, it should be the exact opposite. That it should be like Eliyahu HaNavi, who was Ayla B'Sa'ara HaShamayma. That Eliyahu HaNavi ascended in a whirlwind, alive, Gufa Neshama, to the heavens. That should be the model. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, that nobody knew where he was buried, because nobody could know where he was buried, because nothing is left to just be part of the earth, part of that divided, fragmented earth. May we be zeichet to be mala, to bring it up that way, to be miyached, to bring things together that way. And together with that, we should see miyat Hashem the day of Hayema Hu Yiyeh, Hashem Echad Ushmoy Echad.
The heavens should be happy. and the earth should be
rejoice.
Should rejoice.
Rejoice.